The views expressed on community issues and missions are those of the participants and do not necessarily reflect the views of the board or the staff of Cumberland Valley Christian Radio.
Welcome to Community Issues and Missions. Cumberland Valley Christian Radio is proud to provide a servant's heart time where we recognize local people who are addressing issues that impact our central Pennsylvania community. People tackle the problems and do their best to take corrective actions to make our lives better.
Hello and welcome to today's edition of Community Issues and Missions. I am your host, Jeremy Ross, and it is the beginning of the month of May. We're moving well into the spring season now. And as always, I have my FFA friends with me today for the beginning of the month. I've got Jake Kinzer, who's the vice president. How are you doing today, Jake?
I'm doing great.
And I've got Rourke Miller, who's the Saint Sentinel, with me today also. How are you doing, Rourke?
Oh, I'm always doing good.
And I don't think I've ever had this combination of the two of you before.
No, I don't believe so.
That's kind of funny sometimes when, like, I see, okay, so I've met all of you. Now, just to see, if I put different people together, what's like the dynamic like and the combination of, the conversation and how it rolls?
Oh, yeah.
So that's always a fun thing to do. So, I mean, we're really moving in here to the last leg of the season. I've been saying this now for a little bit, especially once it gets like into the second half of the year. So I'm just asking everybody in general, like, since it's winding down or starting to wind down, like, what has been the thoughts for all of you on the team now that the end is much closer in sight?
I'd say it's definitely a scary thought, because this past year we've been diehard FFA, diehard agriculture, and I don't know that that will really change in the future, but as we go off to college and start to experience the real world and expand our knowledge that way, I think it's something that's a little scary.
Oh yeah, it's going to be kind of bittersweet, because this is, like Rourke said, this is what we've been doing the past year now. And moving on from that, it might be a little tough, but we'll be transitioning into college or hopefully finding a job in the next couple of years. So it'll be kind of cool to transition into that stage of our lives, but it'll be definitely very bittersweet. Yeah. I know when June hits, there will definitely be a couple tears shed, I'm sure.
That's for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like the disbanding of a team of people that you've really gotten to know very well, even over just a year's time. But bonds can happen fast. It does not take long.
Oh, yeah. We started out, I got assigned to a team, but we definitely became a family pretty quickly. So that's something that I'm sure won't dissipate after we retire in June.
Right. Is there any element of like the sense of, okay, so you've had this very structured path that you guys have been following, and now suddenly you're coming to a point where suddenly things go wide open. And even though college is still somewhat structured, suddenly it's still like it's going to be up to you guys to kind of choose the course. Is any of that like factored into your guys' heads yet at all?
Oh, yeah, for sure. Since this year was so structured and kind of very busy, I feel like I'm the type of person that I have a hard time at saying no. So I feel like in college, I may or may not get to a point where I might be too busy. So it's definitely going to be a hard transition, because after we're done or we're retired, I guess you could call it in June, there's going to be like that gap until college starts where I might get a little bit bored, you might call it. But I feel like those days I definitely will be golfing a lot and working at the golf course a lot.
Yeah, I'd say in addition to what Jake said, I actually have the luxury, I get to start college this summer at Penn State. So a week after we retire, I move into college. So I don't have a lot of downtime to be bored. I just get to retire and then make sure I have all of my things in line to move into college next week. So I'm hoping that that will just propel me forward. We'll see what happens, though. Yeah.
I mean, yeah, it's nice when you can just launch from one right into the other. Well, and of course, I have to ask, with going straight into college, like, are any of the classes in that first semester agricultural-based?
Yeah,
okay.
They are. I'm actually in it's an Ag Leap program. I don't know. It's a Penn State program that they run, that you have the two classes for a six-week program, and they're with the exact same people, and you get to know everyone at Penn State. It's, I guess, to help to make sure it's easier to make friends as you move into college. And I mean, the campus up there is huge, so
yeah,
finding your tight-knit group of friends, I think that's what it's outlined to help you for.
Yeah, because I know a lot of times with entering college, it's like that whole freshman group when you first start out. A lot of them, you know, that's the group that you get stuck with and that you pretty much stick with them throughout the entire rest of, you know, the college years. You know, of course, and adding new people in, you know, from time to time. But really that core group of what you start with seems to be foundational for all of it. So that's great. I'm hoping that everything goes very well for the both of you.
Thank you.
So we've got three main events that we're focusing on for this program. And the first off is this business and industry leadership tour. See, I almost mangled it because there's so much there in the name. But Jake, you were the one who brought this up before we even started talking. So tell us a little bit about that and, you know, what's happening in that arena.
Sure. So it's an exciting time of year. We'll start that next week. We'll be starting in the eastern part of the state and actually learning about a different aspect of agriculture that I'm sure not a lot of people know about, but Pennsylvania is actually the number one state in the nation for mushroom production. So we'll be kind of touring a mushroom plant, seeing how that whole process works, and just kind of working our way west of the state of Pennsylvania and learning a little bit more about agriculture the whole way across. So it'll be exciting. We'll definitely be learning a lot so that we can take that back and kind of spread that on to our members then. So it'll be exciting.
I know when we got asked what we wanted to see on this business and industry tour, among our team was a hemp farm, because we'd love to see that. That's obviously a new thing in Pennsylvania agriculture, but it's something that I think is really interesting. I mean, for the fiber and everything that you can use hemp for. I know personally, I wanted to see a robotic milking system. So the dairy animals that come in on their own, the robot just hangs the milker and does all that. I think it would be really neat to see. And I know we have a couple in Pennsylvania, but that mushroom farm, that's going to be interesting.
Because I'm trying to think, with being such high in mushroom production, I don't know if either of you would know the statistics, because of course there's different types of mushrooms. Like, any knowledge on how many different types there are that we tend to have in production and their different uses?
There's several different kinds. There's about three or four main production kinds. You know, you got the white caps, and then you got the portobellos, which are the main ones. Like, the white caps are usually what you see on pizzas and stuff like that. But the portobellos are kind of the mainstream, like the more popular ones in like cuisines, like Italian cuisine or fancier dishes, kind of like that. But Pennsylvania actually grows over 1 million pounds of mushrooms a year.
Wow.
Like, that is a lot of mushrooms.
That is a lot.
That is 100% true. It's crazy how much they grow per year.
Man, so, yeah, because you don't think about stuff like that, because it'd be like, okay, mushrooms, you know that they're incorporated into a lot of dishes, but that's not like one of the primary things that you would necessarily think of off the top of your head. So that's amazing how each area in each state seems to have a different, very different specialty in what they focus on.
Yeah, and I think another cool thing about mushrooms is they grow so quickly. So they're a fungus. And they actually are grown in a dark room that's really, really moist and humid. And they grow so quickly that it doesn't take a large area to grow a lot of mushrooms.
They just pop up super fast.
Yeah.
Right. So, and of course, interspersed with all of this, you've also got the chapter banquets, not to be confused with just the chapter visits, which were happening much earlier in the season. But now, we've talked some about the banquets before, but since we're really in the middle of that right now, like, tell me about, like, the basis of the banquets and what they're all for.
So the idea of the chapter banquets is just to recognize all of the hard work and dedication that our members have put into their year. That's in the latter part of the school year, so they're starting to, seniors are looking to graduation, and freshmen are looking to see what kind of classes they're going to take next year, and they put in a lot of work and competed in a lot of contests, and now it's time to reflect back on the year and recognize each of the members for all of their hard work that they have put into their chapters and the state level of FFA and agriculture.
Okay, and to clarify then, too, not every chapter that you visited is able to have a banquet, correct?
That's correct. So it's kind of up to the chapter to decide, but I know, for example, there's been a couple chapters that I've gone to banquets for that I haven't visited yet. So it's pretty cool because, you know, sometimes you get to see those familiar faces that you may have seen earlier in the year, but then sometimes you get to meet some new friendly faces. So it's pretty fun time of year.
I'm glad you brought that up, because I hadn't even considered that, because with the chapter visits, that's primarily you guys going out solo or in pairs, I think.
In pairs, usually.
So I hadn't even considered that there would be instances where you would actually end up being to a banquet, or basically you would end up being switched. You know, you'd end up being to one that you hadn't been to earlier in the year.
Yeah. I think it is rewarding, though. And I'll speak for myself. I'm not sure about the rest of my team. I think it's extremely rewarding to go into those chapters that you did have the opportunity to visit, because you make connections during the visit, and then you see them at the different conferences that we hold throughout the year. And as the year wraps up, you can see how they have grown from just the beginning of the year. And it's something that you can understand why teachers do what they do, to see their students develop. And I think it's really interesting just to watch them grow and develop as themselves.
So you found it to be very surprising how quick of a change there can be?
Oh, yeah. It doesn't take much, and all of a sudden people are drastically more mature and have developed so much more in their confidence and public speaking skills and things like that. It's crazy.
That's great. It's nice to see that in such a short period of time, and due to the influence often of you guys visiting, that there is such a positive influence on many of these students and potentially propels them into a course that they may not have considered before.
So. We try.
Yeah. And sometimes you just have to leave it up to the situation and never, you can plant the seed, you know, to stick with both an agricultural and a biblical reference at the same time, and then just hope that things work out. So that's great.
That's for sure.
And of course, the big event, you know, to wrap it all up, is the state convention. And every time as it gets closer to the end here, like, I love talking to each of the different members of the team about this, because of knowing how much goes into this event and, you know, the preparation that is involved.
Oh, yeah. The preparation is very key. We were talking about it earlier. The script is almost 80 pages, so we have a lot of preparation, a lot of memorizing. But this year's an exciting year for FFA. You know, there's a big milestone in the FFA this year, so you might catch a couple hints of that this year at the state convention, dealing with female membership. So I don't want to spoil the surprise yet, but we're excited for that part of the convention, because we may hint at that a little bit. It'll be an exciting time.
The state convention is always a great way to wrap up a school year as well. I mean, you have the banquets, but there's always state convention after that that's considered to be part of that year. And our members get to come, and about 1,500 members fill Penn State's campus. Well, not fill it. I mean, their campus is huge, but come to Penn State's campus, and they live the college life for a couple days, and they compete in contests, and they put hours and hours into studying for these contests and preparing for these contests. They get to compete, and we get to recognize them, and we have a speaker come from National FFA. We have a National FFA officer that gets to join us, and they get to shed a little light from what they've learned throughout their year so far. And it's always just exciting to see all of the FFA members across the state come together in one area and have fun and celebrate and all of the work that the state has put in throughout the last year.
So how many, because of course this is the year of you guys being the officers, but prior to that, how many state conventions had you guys been to?
Oh, ever since my freshman year.
Really? That one.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It definitely was, definitely don't want to miss opportunity, like, event for me.
I think this will be my sixth state convention, because my school has eighth grade membership. So I got to go all 5 years of membership within being a member of the Little Dutchman FFA chapter. And then now get to go back as a state officer and help to actually put on the festivities.
Okay, because that's interesting, because it's like, all right, so prior to this, you've gotten to see what the convention is like from somebody who, you know, is more of an observer, but now you guys are like in the thick of it and in the production. And I imagine that has to instill a deeper appreciation on everything that goes into it.
That's for sure. And I know our team, everyone got to experience a state convention that was held in the Eisenhower Auditorium at Penn State. And our conventions got so big that we actually had to move to the Bryce Jordan Center.
Oh, wow.
So we don't fill it up, and we're hoping to fill it up in the future, but it's exciting to see what more we can do with the convention in a bigger setting.
Fantastic. I mean, just remembering from being there last year and seeing you know, everything that goes into it and how well laid out it is, you know, and the experience of being there in that, I always say, that huge sea of blue where you're just like, oh, man, it's like there's so many FFA members here. It's an amazing event to be a part of, I mean, even just as an observer, that as I've experienced it myself.
So it's all hands on deck.
I could imagine, yeah, with everything that you have to learn and remember for preparation on it. So as we get down to just the last little bit, there were a couple of little agricultural things that we were discussing ahead of time. And most of this is going to be recap that we had talked about before. But it's good to bring things up again, you know, as a reminder for just our listeners about what all is happening. So the first I'm going to talk about a little bit is the condition of our dairy farmers right now, because that's been a big deal. That whole industry has kind of been in turmoil right now. And so since it's been a little while since we last talked about it, is there any major new information to share in that regard?
In terms of the dairy industry, it's gone through a lot in the past year or two. And I think now we're starting to see a more positive comeback. I mean, your numbers are starting to go up slightly. There's nothing that can explain everything that the dairy farmers have went through in the past year with in terms of what they were getting paid and for milk production and things like that. But it is starting to come back ever so slightly, and I think in the future it'll end up coming back pretty strong. But I know Governor Tom Wolf, he's introduced funding and started different programs to try to get the dairy industry back on its feet. I know from my area in Lancaster County, there was a guy who actually started to make these bale boards, they called them. It's just the white wrapped hay bales. And on the side, they paint on drink local whole milk, 97% fat free. And back home, they've started to put those everywhere on every street corner and main road, and it's something that really catches your eye. You see a little marshmallow out in the field,
yeah,
and you're driving by and you read it, and I think that's something that's starting to expand. It's really starting to expand in hopes of the public and people driving by getting to realize that whole milk really isn't bad for you. I mean, the bale board has a website attached to it, so if you go to 97milk.com, you can learn all about the goods of milk products and make sure to get your 3 servings of milk a day, things like that.
So yeah, for listeners, then, if you've ever spotted one of those as you were driving around, now you understand the backstory of how they came about and just how important those signs are. So keep that in mind, because the dairy industry still needs more bringing up, but at least it's good to hear that things are slowly improving.
Slowly but surely.
A little bit at a time. Now, and Jake, you had mentioned something about our farmers specifically, considering that we're getting into, you know, the beginning of sort of the actual main harvesting, or not harvesting, the, you know, farming season.
Right. So being on the environmental side that I am, I'm planning on majoring in environmental science. I like to focus more on like the soils and land use aspect of kind of the agricultural side. So one tool that I use a lot, and this even helped whenever I started my own garden, is the Web Soil Survey, it's called. You can go on there, type in, like, it has a map that you can put like a big box around a certain area, and you can learn more about what's involved in your soil, what kind of soil it is, how much organic matter is in it. So it's really important for what you're going to be planting for that year, how to plant it, what kind of soil, what kind of fertilizer you might need. So it's extremely important. It's a very useful tool that is available for people to use.
Yes, it's probably something people are kind of thinking about, but not necessarily in that level of depth. You know, something as simple mm-hmm. like, okay, if you live in a city, you're probably like on a city network. But if you're out in the country, often you're drinking well water, which is then really subject to what type of ground, you know, are you in, you know. Like, I know for myself, I was saying beforehand, like, I've pretty much grown up having a water softener in our house because the iron content in our soil was so high that if we didn't have it, that would cause pretty significant problems. So yeah, being aware of the little things like that can make a big difference.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Before we head off for today, were there any other final thoughts that either of you wanted to share?
I think one thing that's important to remember in the springtime is that farmers are out doing their work in their fields, and in order to get to a lot of their fields, they have to take the roads and highways. And it's important to remember that although they're slowing you down, I promise it's better to wait. Those farmers don't want to be slowing you down. They just need to get their work done. And when you're driving behind them, just be patient. They'll let you pass when they can. And if not, then it's definitely not safe to just go flying by. As farmers and people who have, as someone who's been on a tractor and held up a line of traffic, it's not something that we're proud of, but it's something that goes with the job. And we'd rather see everyone behind us safe and make sure that we're safe when we're on the tractors on the roads as well. So just be patient and be mindful, and that 20 minutes of your day, it'll be worth it if you can have your life afterwards.
Yeah, very true. Jake, anything for you?
I think Rourke nailed it on the head. I mean, that's exactly what I was going to talk about too. But yeah, I mean, this was an awesome session. So thank you very much. This was cool.
Thank you.
It's been great to have both of you, as always. So thank you for listening. This has been Community Issues and Missions with the FFA members, beginning of the month of May. And I pray that you all have a blessed week. And we'll see you next time when we come back for Community Issues and Missions.
Well, we thank you for listening today. Please pray for these people as they address the issues and mission efforts for all of us. We'll talk to you again next week.